federal government has scrapped its clean energy target in favour of a new national energy guarantee, aimed at lowering household energy bills and ensuring security of electricity to all Australians. However, the plan is taking a lot of flak from all sides. Joining us to discuss federal politics is Ben Elpham from independent journalist website New Matilda. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So what are the main components of this national energy guarantee?
There's two main components. The government has created this scheme. Basically, there's one called the emissions guarantee, which is, I suppose, sort of like an action to address carbon emissions and climate change. And there's one called the reliability guarantee, which the government assures us will keep the lights on.
Was it really necessary, though, to completely scrap the clean energy target?
No, it wasn't. Absolutely not. In fact, you know, the government never really adopted the clean energy target. It was a recommendation by the chief scientist, Alan Finkel, who was commissioned by the government to come up with a plan on energy more than a year ago. However, the problem with Alan Finkel's review is that it had the word clean in it, and I think that was unacceptable to the Liberal backbench. So the government has come up with a second plan, Plan B, if you like, to try and deal with this issue.
Does it set a good precedent to ignore the recommendations of your chief scientist?
Well, the government's been ignoring the recommendations of scientists on climate change pretty much since it took office, so I suppose this is just par for the course.
A few states, of course, are up in arms about this announcement, South Australia one of them. What other states are sort of contesting this announcement?
I spoke to the Queensland Energy Minister, Mark Bailey, yesterday, and he's not exactly chuffed of the plan either. They want to see the modelling. They want to see the detail of the plan. The government hasn't released a lot of detail. So far, it's really just an 8-page glossy brochure. We don't know the nuts and bolts of exactly how it will work. How will this reliability guarantee work? What will be the actual data that will drive the plan? And what about the emissions guarantee? Does that equal a carbon tax by stealth? Those are some of the questions people are asking.
I was going to ask about the reliability guarantee. So you're saying we don't have many details on what that actually involves?
No, we don't at this stage. We think it might take the form of some kind of contract or some kind of guarantee by retailers. They would have to source a certain percentage of their electricity supply from so-called dispatchable generation. So this would be things like gas peaking plants or the new battery that Jay Weatherall has bought from Elon Musk in South Australia, the kind of energy that can be dispatched to the grid at a moment's notice.
Now, we've discussed the states are up in arms about the announcement. What kind of action are they looking to take?
Well, the government needs the states and territories in order to implement this plan, so that's kind of important. It's a Commonwealth state electricity market, and so what the states really want is some kind of concrete detail from the government. They haven't been given that yet, and so they're understandably a little bit suspicious. Of course, the politics of this are also complex. Three of the four states in the national electricity market are Labor states, and the federal government has been beating up on the states for about a year now. For example, the federal government was extremely critical of the South Australian government this time last year over its energy policies. So there's not a lot of trust going around in Commonwealth-state relations on energy.
What could the federal government do to make these state governments fall in line?
Nothing, because the problem is that they're the states and they have a constitutional role that's different from the feds. So the normal thing that the Commonwealth does when it wants to get the states to do things is to offer them a lot of money. Now, so far, there's no money on the table from the government on that.
The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has released a preliminary report highlighting issues of affordability and power prices linked to deregulation. Does the new National Energy Guarantee, the so-called Energy Guarantee, cover any issues raised in this report?
It doesn't, actually. So the ACCC looked into what is the cause of higher power prices over the last decade, and what it told us is pretty much what we already know, that the cause is network cost. It's the poles and the wires, and in particular, the gold plating of those networks, allowing the companies that control the poles and wires and the transmission lines to charge very, very high prices and pass them on to consumers. Now, there's nothing in this new plan that reforms that issue. And so many people think, actually, that instead of lowering electricity prices, this new NEG, National Electricity Guarantee, will actually just lock in the prices at their current high levels.
I'm speaking with Ben Elphin from New Matilda about the big issues in federal politics. Now, retired Liberal MP Bruce Bilson has been cleared in an investigation into whether he breached lobbying guidelines. Can you please explain the situation for us, Ben?
Yes, absolutely. Bruce Bilson was the federal small business minister until September 2015. He was ousted when Malcolm Turnbull took over the government from Tony Abbott. Now, Bilson continued on in Parliament until the last election in June last year. In March last year, Bilson took up a role, a paid role, at $75,000 a year as the chairman of the Franchising Council of Australia, a lobby group for small business. Now, it's now been shown that he was a lobbyist at the same time that he was a member of Parliament. And so there's now a couple of investigations ongoing into whether he has, in fact, misled the Parliament and indeed might have even been contempt of the Parliament. So it's a very, very serious allegation.
What does his role on the Franchise Council entail? Is there a conflict of interest there?
Absolutely. I mean, by definition. So his role is he's the chairman. He's literally the boss of the board. And his role is to lobby. His role is to lobby the government to do better things for small business, particularly for franchises. So the issue here is, in particular, he was doing that job. He was getting paid by those guys at the same time he was getting paid by taxpayers, by you and I, to be an MP. And I think that's improper, and so does the Labor Party, and indeed we now think perhaps so does the Speaker of the House of Representatives, because he's launched an investigation too.
You mentioned the Speaker's investigation. What will that involve?
So it will be referred to the Privileges Committee of the Parliament. Now, this potentially could even lead to criminal charges being laid against Bilson. The interesting thing it also raises is the lack of a federal anti-corruption body. So if this was in New South Wales, this would probably fall under the aegis of ICAC, the Independent Corruption Commission in New South Wales. Now, there isn't one of those federally, and this is why people think that we need one federally to investigate this kind of wrongdoing.
Thank you for speaking to us this morning, Ben.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Ben Elphin from New Matilda. You can read those stories and more at newmatilda.com.